It is the purpose of the Moments with the Book broadcast to present to its listeners the person of the Son of God. Now today we wish to seek to fulfill this purpose by considering him and the first miracle which he performed when here on earth. Now the account of this miracle is given to us in John's Gospel, chapter 2. John's Gospel is the Gospel that especially sets him forth as the eternal Son of God. In the very first chapter, we have him presented as the Word, the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. He was there. It's a beginning without a beginning. It takes us back into eternity. And then we read that the Word was with or toward God. There was an enjoyment of relationship, an inner communion, of love that the Father and the Son had in eternal ages. And then we read that this one, the Word, was God. God the Son. A distinct person, however, in the Godhead. The next verse tells us the same one. He is the one who was in the beginning with God. Oh, what a marvelous presentation of truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is seen in these verses in John 1. And dear listening friend, it is of utmost importance that you know this truth and accept it as that which God has presented as the foundation for all his revelation, that his beloved Son is God himself, who has come into the world, the one who was the eternal Word made flesh, who dwelt amongst us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, his beloved Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he came into the world as the eternal Word. A word is an expression of the thought, and he is the sum and total of the expression of all that God is. God's purposes, God's character, God's nature. All this is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the very miracles which he did, we see the glory of God manifested. In fact, that is why, at least one reason why, the Lord performed miracles. In his lifetime here on earth, he did many miracles, many works. John himself says that even the world itself could not contain the books which could be written about what Jesus did when here on earth. But in the Gospel of John, the Spirit of God picks 8 of those miracles out and presents them to us in this divine revelation. And he says that these are written in chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, it is our purpose today to look at the first miracle which Jesus performed. I believe we see in it a deep significance as to the reason for his coming to earth in regard to man's blessing. The turning of water into wine when the wine had run out. And when we realize that wine is a symbol of joy, do we not see here, heading the list of the miracles which the Spirit of God chooses John to write, is a witness to the significance of the fact that the Son of God came into the world to undo the works that sin had produced and to bring joy, true joy, eternal joy, to mankind. Here, the setting for this miracle is a marriage feast. The mother of Jesus was there, and the disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself were called to the marriage. And Jesus, going to the marriage, puts his stamp of approval indeed upon that which was his institution. Marriage is the divine institution. Oh, I know that in these days of sin and increasing evil and apostasy, the institution of marriage is done away with by many. And thus we see the whole fabric of human life and relationship brought to nothing. But here we have the Lord's stamp of approval upon marriage. And he is at the wedding. And while here, it is then that the wine which they had been drinking ran out. They had no wine. Now, we have mentioned that miracles were performed that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing we might have life in his name. Also, in the 11th verse of this chapter, we have another reason. Jesus did these miracles in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. He came to reveal himself as the Son of God, the glory of his grace, the glory of his mercy, the glory of his power and wisdom. All this is seen in what he did. But also we can say that the miracles which were performed are like lessons, pictures of the salvation which he came to bring. We wish to speak of each of these as the Lord directs us. Now, for instance, here they have no wine. Joy, so to speak, had run out. Is this not typical of the condition in the world, a world that's ruined by sin, and even in the earthly relationships that men have, that which is instituted by God in marriage, for instance? Unless Christ is brought in, joy soon runs out. Nothing lasting can be produced. And here we see the Lord Jesus in the place of his creation. He, the Creator, in the midst of a creation ruined by sin, he is there now to be the one to bring blessing to man. Man who had sinned. To reverse, shall we say, by his act of power, what sin had produced. In fact, that's what a miracle is. You know, a miracle is a setting aside or a changing or reversing a law in nature by the Creator himself. And he does it for a wise and sovereign purpose. That's what a miracle is. No such thing as laws of nature. They are laws of God in nature. And here is the one who is the God of nature. And he's in the midst of creation ruined by sin, and he's going to reverse laws to bring blessing to man. And this is the mystery, indeed, of godliness. What an amazing thing it is when we consider that the Creator himself, God the Son, the eternal Word, in grace, and according to the counsels and purposes of eternal God, finds himself here, and he comes willingly into the world his hands had made. He came to his own received him not. And yet it's the grace that shines forth in all the glory of God here. He is here to remedy the situation that sin has sorrowfully produced. It is his mother who comes to him and says, they have no wine. There's no question. She knew who he was. The one who was blessed, indeed, to be the vessel through whom the Savior should come. She only makes the remark, they have no wine. He turns to her and says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, there's no disrespect at all in his words to her here. We must remember that in John's gospel, he is particularly set forth as the Son of God. And here he is in the place of authority, that which he alone can take, in the place of power. And he is going to do something now that though it is not the fulfillment of his purpose in bringing Israel into blessing, that hour of his had not yet come. All before the hour of blessing for Israel, we know when the cross had to be accomplished and also the purposes concerning the church fulfilled, that still is future. His hour of glory here on earth has not yet come. Woman, what have I to do with thee? And so you see, even though his place in Israel was not yet to be taken, thank God that we see in this miracle the fact that he himself was here not only for Israel, but for those who lived in Galilee, shall we say, in the Galilee of the Gentiles. He desires the blessing of all men, and in this miracle which he performs, we see his provision for all men. And there is glory even now in the salvation of precious souls. And this is pictured for us in what he does. Now, what she says is of utmost importance to consider. If we would listen to what Mary said in verse 5 and heed it, every single one of us would be blessed. His mother said unto the servants, and these are the words, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She knew who he was. And God's desire is that you might know who he is. He is the one who has all authority, and he's got all love and all power and all wisdom, dear friend. And he has grace for you. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. To bow to his authority, to obey his word, is what assures blessing to you. You have to do with him. Will you not realize this? You cannot escape it. And he wants to do with you now in grace. Now, what he does to remedy the situation here of no wine, he notices that there are 6 water pots of stone there, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. They were containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, that is, the capacity of them. But they were empty. They had no water in them. They were of stone. There were 6, and as I said, they were empty. What have we here? As we think of the significance of 6, for instance, to begin with, 6 is the number of man. 6 to suggest the 6 days of labor. You see, one short of the 7th, which is rest. All of this is none availing to meet the needs of the feast. They're empty. 6, absolutely unable to produce what the soul demands. You say, what do you mean? It's nothing that you can do. No labor of man, the number man 6. No labor, the number 6. Can provide what man needs for his soul, dear friend. And then the fact that they are empty indicates, I'm sure, the fact that what is of mere formal religion cannot produce that which is of substance and of vital necessity for the soul. Formal, empty religion can produce nothing to meet the needs of the soul. They're of stone, they're hard, they're cold. Ah, are not all these things indicative of man's condition away from God? Regardless of his formal religiousness, and also because of his own natural condition, dead in sins before God, as dead as a stone, no life Godward. What a man like that needs is life, and mere formal religion will not produce it. All the ceremonial and ritualistic forms of Judaism and Christendom, if you will, as applied today, are absolutely worthless to produce the wine of joy. But Jesus has the answer. He says, fill the water pots with water. And they were obedient. They filled them to the brim. And then we know the result, that when he drew out and they poured out from those vessels that were filled with water, it was then that the governor of the feast was amazed at the quality of the wine. And he called for the bridegroom, and he said, well, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This was an amazing thing, the good wine. Yeah, the very adjective indicates that all other is not good. There's only one that is good. There's only one satisfying joy. Now let's just for a moment consider what produced this. Water in the Word of God is invariably a type of the Word of God. In fact, in Ephesians 5, we have it definitely stated that it is so, that he might cleanse it, that is referring to the church, by the washing of water. How? By the Word. In the Old Testament, likewise, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Cleansing brings to your mind the act of water. And the answer is by taking heed thereto according to thy word. There are many other scriptures. We will not multiply instances. It's the word of God, dear friend, that we are to receive. Liken yourself to a vessel here, empty and cold and dead. The word of God would come into your heart and first of all bring you to a repentance of what you are. It is through the Bible which tells us that all have sinned that we see God's verdict against us. The whole world is guilty before God. You are guilty before God. Has the word of God ever come to you? Have you received it? And have you been brought to repentance? And the same word that brings you to repentance is that which brings to you the remedy for your sin and your death. It is the person of the Son of God. He is the living word, as we read in chapter 1. The one who is presented to us in the written word, whose glory we see in the miracles which he did, the Son of God. The Spirit of God would desire that you should see him as the one who came into this world for you. He came to seek and to save the lost. And the work that alone could accomplish that, he did on the cross. Though wine is a symbol of joy, true joy, it also suggests to us the basis of that true joy. Wine is that which the Lord took, you recall, when he instituted the memorial feast, the Lord's Supper. This is my blood, he said, which is shed or poured out for you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, which alone can cleanse us from our sins and give us the true eternal joy which we long for. And this is what is seen here. Here is the marriage. Apart from Christ, the joy had fled. Bring Christ in, the joy, and a higher type of joy, an eternal joy. That which brings spiritual realities into earthly relationships is that which alone can truly satisfy and bring joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all this is through the person of the Son of God. My dear listening friend, dost thou believe on the Son of God? I trust that today, that the record of this first miracle which he did will manifest his glory to you, and that you might see him as the Son of God, and believing on him, receive life through his name. May God bless his word. Our loving God, our Father, we thank thee for thy eternal Son, who came to manifest thy glory and to present the proof, the witness, and the sign that as thy Son, he was here to be the Savior of sinners. Oh, we pray that today many who hear the word presenting him will be brought to believe on him, accepting him as their personal Savior and Lord, and thus being brought to true joy. We ask it in the Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.